We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Thursday. It's July 29th. It's 2021. And we have five baseball games to talk about here on today's slate. As always, on these short slates, I like to bring in Jordan Cooper, Blenderhead. These short slates are fun to talk to you because we could talk some game theory on top of, you know, just, hey, this guy's in a good spot.
Now, just tell them the truth. You put me on these short slates because I tend to talk a lot.
I mean, it doesn't hurt that I put you on short slates because we tend to talk a lot when you come
right. On a 13-game slate, the podcast will be 3 hours long. You know, on these five-game slates, if it ends up being 45 minutes, it's like, ah, okay. I know it's only five games, but not a big deal.
I don't think anybody would complain about a three-hour podcast with Blender. How about that?
Now, people do complain. I do three-hour podcasts sometimes. I just did one for the Theory of DFS podcast. They seem to like it, but I mean, some people complain.
Listen, anybody can complain anytime. Who cares? All right. We have five games to talk about on today's slate. I mean, pitching is really kind of all over the place, I think is the best way to say this. I mean, Freddy Peralta against Pittsburgh, I think, is going to be massive chalk. We'll talk about that when we get there. But outside of him, I mean, it's kind of hit or miss what we're looking at as far as pitching on the slate. So we could talk about that as we are going through here. You got a little sweatsy going on as well. So, I mean, hopefully
I'm in first place now for 100K in the $8 or whatever the hell on DraftKings. By the time you wake up this morning, I probably am in 12th place. And I have another set of steak knives. Stevie, this season in MLB, I looked at my Roto tracker. I downloaded my CSV. I have 17 top 20 finishes and 9 top 10s. I came in second once and then a whole bunch of fifths and sevenths and 10th, like all in that range. So I have a ton of steak knives. I'm looking to trade in my steak knives for a Cadillac.
I mean, steak knives add up when you're putting that many into the top 20 consistently.
Eventually. Really, it's a small profit unless you get like something. I need a little bit more. Seconds, thirds, I'll take 25,000 per second. At this point, just anything but steak knives. I'll take anything. But so who knows what happens by the morning. Maybe in the morning, maybe I held. Maybe I'm good. Maybe everyone's congratulating me, but maybe you'll see a screenshot. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with the late games going on right now.
I mean, regardless if you win or not, the lineup build, your construction is super solid, for what it's worth. So I'll give you that. How about that?
Right,
I'll give you that.
You can't pay the rent with that, right?
I know you can't.
Go to your landlord and go like, I built the 5-3 Orioles Reds with Giolito and and Fried. So that's I'll write it down. I'll do a screenshot for 11th place, and then there's. Are you gonna take that? No, that doesn't pay anything.
I'll take it. I'm at the end of the day, I'm gonna pay my light bills. So I was giving you a compliment that your lineup construction was solid.
Okay. Well, I hope so. I'm a good player. I hope it's good.
All right. Let's get into this slate. So like I said, 5-game slate. Pitching is very hit or miss. I like the fact that we get to start with the Milwaukee Pittsburgh game. It has 8.5 total. It's open to 8.5. It's down to 8. Milwaukee's a 190 favorite. We got Freddie Peralta against Chad Kuhl. Blender, I know game theory tells us that like Peralta is going to be 50% and we potentially look elsewhere, but I'm looking at this slate going, I don't care what his ownership is. He's the best pitcher on the slate and I'm playing him.
Well, from a raw points perspective, I don't have projections in front of me. I'm going to expect that Peralta is going to have the highest raw point projection by a significant margin, like maybe 5 or 6 points on the slate. So maybe in the large field stuff, I could see playing a pirate stack, but I mean, you're going to basically any lineup that you play without Peralta is going to give up, you know, like 6 points, 5 points, who knows. I'll see in the morning. So it's going to be very hard to get away from him because you can build lineups. I mean, there's enough cheap bats in places that you could fit in pretty much whatever 2 pitchers you want.
Strong bullpen behind him. I mean, if he's pitching with any kind of lead, you're hoping to get that win. He has a 36% K rate on the season, swing and strike rate around 15%. His biggest issue is fly balls. And I think really the only guy that you're like overly concerned a little bit is maybe Polanco. But like Polanco's a big strikeout guy. The Pittsburgh lineup throughout the season hasn't been like this huge like strikeout team, but this isn't that same lineup. I mean, Frazier's gone. They're dealing with a couple injuries on top of that. So, I mean, I think Peralta, best play on the slate, raw points wise, like you said, should project very, very well here. Chad Kuhl on the other side of this game, I mean, he's sitting around a 20% K rate on the season, high walk rate, high XFIP. Better against righties than he is against lefties. Any interest here in Chad Kuhl at 6,400?
I mean, it's a good ballpark, but I mean, do you have to spend just that little on a pitcher today? I mean, you could fit in. I guess you can. He's playable, but nothing I'd be excited about. The Brewers have a 4.7 implied run total currently. I'm more inclined to play Brewers bats than Kuhl on this slate.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you here. I mean, there are cheap pitchers that we're going to take shots on this slate, but I don't think Chad Kuhl with his strikeout rate is worth it. Let's talk bats here for Milwaukee. I think this is a good like secondary stack with like Adames, Navarez, Garcia, Tellez, Wong. I think I more secondary stack this than I full stack it, but I definitely think Milwaukee's in play here.
No, they're cheap enough. I mean, really, even without Yelich in the lineup, this Brewers lineup could actually hit. I mean, Tellez is 2,600. Narvaez is under 4K for a catcher. You got Garcia at 3,300. The bottom of the lineup, you could play Bradley, Kane. You know, that. I mean, this is a cheap. It's one of. I think it's the cheapest stack for a 4.7 implied run total. I think the Brewers are going to be somewhat popular. Maybe not the most owned stack on the slate. Because remember, it's a 5-game slate, so there aren't that many teams to choose from. If I'm going to jam in, like 2 high price pitchers, like I could easily play a 5-man Brewers stack. And I don't think you need to play it as a secondary. I think five man is perfectly fine.
Fair enough. Any interest here in the Pittsburgh bats?
They're so cheap, right? I'm more inclined to play the lefties like Polanco at 2,600. If Gamel leads off, he's 2K. I mean, Rodolfo Castro had 2 home runs this past day, so I don't know what's gotten into him. Does he have power? Who knows? But he bats from the other side of the plate. So, I mean, Reynolds, I mean, he's 4,700. No, you're not going to see – he's going to be nothing owned. He's going to be 1% owned on a 5-game slate. And to me, that's like the – this is the perfect leverage situation. If you're playing large field GPPs and you're playing, you know, a ton of Peralta, I know, Stevie, what you like to do, those hedge stacks, right? Just in case stacks. And if Peralta does happen to get blown up, you could do it. I don't know. I think I'm more inclined, if I'm going to play the Pirates, I'd play them as a 3-man. Like, do I see Peralta getting blown up for 8 to 10 runs? No. But maybe he could give up 4 or 5. And maybe that pays off 3 Pirates, but maybe not 5. But, I mean, obviously the Pirates are going to be the lowest owned team on the slate. But you get that relative value, that game theory type of thinking, that if you want that, once-in-a-lifetime shot, where it happens, and you want to kill, 50 to 60% of the lineups in the contest, that's where you go.
Yeah, I mean, I think even if you're building, a 20-entry max today on this 5-game slate, that is where you're looking at potentially playing some Pittsburgh bats, just because the ownership and the leverage that you can kind of create and, kind of hedge yourself really. So, I think this is a spot, like I said, I don't think I'd do it in single entries unless you're just really trying to be contrarian and I'm building one lineup today in the $1 single entry or something crazy like that. I mean, that's where you play Pittsburgh, but I think overall not going to go too crazy here. Moving on, we got Toronto at Boston. Some potential weather in this game right now, night before, doesn't look bad, except for it looks very favorable for hitters. Massive winds blowing out to left center. And this total definitely represents this game potentially being high scoring. It's a 10 total. It's a pick'em game. It's Ryu against Rodriguez. Any interest here in Ryu at 8,600?
Not really. I mean, these are good name pitchers, but these are also good lineups. And also, obviously, we're going to have to take a look and check Roth before. We have, rain in the forecast. So this may be a game that ends up getting postponed. Who knows? This also may be a game that may have a threat of rain and that decreases the ownership, but I don't think it's going to be on these pitchers. I think more likely people are going to be playing the bats in this game. And Ryu is a good enough pitcher, and Rodriguez on the other side are good enough pitchers. People are going to be scared off by these 5-run implied totals that in a different lineup, in a non-Peralta lineup, or maybe alongside Peralta, am I crazy to say at lower ownership that playing Ryu against the Red Sox ain't that bad of a play? It'll work out enough times that give it a shot.
I mean, yeah, the upside, the ceiling is there. I get distracted. You had India and Winker with bases loaded and they both got out.
Giolito just got his wind blown. Sal Perez hit a home run in the bottom of the ninth. I told you it's turning into steak knives. I told you it's going to turn into steak knives.
Hopefully it's not plastic forks and plastic spoons. I mean, yeah, when you're looking at Ryu on a 5-game slate, like I said, I think the weather, I'm not Kevin Roth, but the weather looks okay at the start of this game. So we're going to have to kind of see what it looks like. But I think this game has the highest total on the slate. And with the potential rain, I think a lot of people are going to get scared of playing any bats in this game or pitchers in this game. And I think both of these guys are potential tournament plays to pivot off of Joe Musgrove, who I think is going to be pretty popular today. And we'll talk about that when we get there. But I think both these guys are interesting tournament plays. But to say that, I like the bats too. And I will say that Ryu could potentially not see Devers here. Like, he was dealing with a little bit of a tightness, and they, with the lefty lefty, they might not play him in this spot. So he might face another righty, which is not the greatest situation. So we'll see. Do you have any interest in Rodriguez?
I mean, the Toronto lineup is not a lineup that you necessarily want to face, but I mean, they can strike out. I mean, Erod this season is way better than what his overall stats look like. His underlying metrics are really good. The problem with Rodriguez is that I could see this Toronto, he could pitch well and still only pitch five innings and pitch 100 pitches, because he always goes deep into counts when he gets into trouble. And this lineup is just like murderer's row, at least the top half of it is. But you know, if he's going to be sub 10% owned on a five game slate, it's just like Ryu. It's just like, you're getting yourself into trouble. You know, you're entering the volcano here, but not many people are going to try. So if bats are going to be popular this game, I think I'm more inclined to take some shots on the pitchers, because these bats are very expensive. I mean, the Toronto stack is ginormously expensive that I don't even know if you could play Peralta in a lineup with the Blue Jays.
All right. You know, we already kind of talked about Toronto. You already started to talk about Toronto.
Toronto's great. I mean, if the wind's blowing out, it's a 5-run total. But I mean, 5,300, 6,500 for Vlad, 5,800 for Semien, 5,700 for Bichette. Teoscar's 51. And other than like Alejandro Kirk at 3,300, the other guys are also over 4K as well. So like, I mean, who do you play pitcher if you're playing this? I mean, if you want to go to two cheap pitcher and just load up on Toronto, and not many people are going to do that. So I'm not sure how high owned the Toronto as a stack will be if people are going to be playing Peralta. Like, can you fit like Montas and Musgrove? Even then, that's, you have problems. I mean, the stack is expensive, but also understand this stack could put up 12 runs in any matchup on any day in any park. So, I'm most likely going to be under on the Blue Jays, but I could see playing these guys as one-offs, right? You're playing a cheaper, you're going to play a Brewers stack with, you know, Rowdy Tellez at first base at 2,600. And then you're able to fit in like, and you play Adames, and then you fit in like Semien at second base or something like you could play one of these guys, Springer, right? Bichette at shortstop, if you're not playing a shortstop, but as the far as the full stack, like, you're going to need a lot for these guys to pay off.
I mean, when we're looking at projections, they're going to probably project really well as far as raw points go.
Wise, but maybe not point per dollar wise.
Yeah, raw points wise. I mean, the Red Sox, I feel like, are in a similar spot as far as like overall upside. Ryu's a guy that gives up a lot of hard contact. They're going to be hitting in the same weather if this game is going to, you know, have that potential good weather. And, I mean, if Devers doesn't play in this game, you're going to get, like, Renfro batting, like, fifth behind Xander and JD with potentially, like, Kiki right there. And, I mean, they priced up Boston, too. But when you're looking at it overall,
I mean, not all
the pieces. Yeah, not all the pieces. Like, Dahlbeck's 2.4. Plawicki's pretty cheap. Renfro's 3.7. Vasquez is cheap. So, I mean, I like the Red Sox side of this game for sure.
No, I agree with you. I'm much more inclined to play the Red Sox because they're affordable. I mean, maybe you don't play Kiki at 5K and Bogarts and Martinez all together, all three of them. But I could see playing like a middle of the order. Bogarts, JD, Renfro, Vasquez, play Dalbec at first base and do something like that. Like, I could say to keep, and then you could play a Peralta in that type of lineup.
All right, we're moving on. We got Baltimore at Detroit. 9.5 total here. Detroit's a 153 favorite. Alexander Wells against Casey Mize. Any interest here in Wells?
I don't even know who's. What's an Alexander Wells? It's an Orioles pitcher. The answer is always, it's pretty much no. Is he even going to pitch? How many pitches is he even going to pitch?
I mean, he threw 93 a few days ago against Tampa. Put up 16 fantasy points against Tampa. This is a junk baller. Big time command type pitcher with a lot of junk. Like he throws a lot of changeups, curveballs, sliders. His fastball is not great. He's not a huge prospect or anything like that, but he throws a lot of strikes. And I mean, he generates a lot of fly balls. And I mean,
sounds like a recipe for he throws it right down the middle and generates a lot of hard fly balls.
Listen, because you have command. Because you have command, I mean, you can. That doesn't mean you're going to throw it down the middle.
I have command. I could throw a baseball down the middle, right? I can Williams Astudillo it, in there, whatever. I'm going to give up 400 runs, but I mean, I'm going to show that command. All right.
I mean, I think if you're playing Wells here, you're just kind of hoping that if he gives up a couple home runs, they're single shots.
We're trying to just the best case scenario, he only gives up three solo home runs.
No, okay, so for
a grand slam and a bunch of multiple home runs.
For what it's worth, I like Mize a lot more, and I kind of like the Detroit bats. I was just saying that it's a 5-game slate, and if you want to take a shot, I wouldn't talk you off of it. Casey Mize, on the other hand, I mean, Baltimore's a team that strikes out with the best of them. Like, you look at Hayes, Mancini, Mountcastle, Stewart, their starting lineup on most days has seven guys with strikeout rates over 23% against right-handed pitching. So I think Casey Mize at 6,900, not going to go out and dominate this team, but I think he's someone that could get 5 to 7 strikeouts, throw 5 innings, and put up 15 fantasy points. And he's just a pivot off of Musgrove. Again, we're going to get to Musgrove. Musgrove's going to be popular. I'm looking for pivots, and I think Mize is playable here.
He's playable, but I mean, I'm always concerned about his leash, right? I'm always concerned, he doesn't pitch 100 pitches. I mean, a lot of times they take him out, even after the fourth, he's pitched 78 pitches, and then...
he's on an innings limit. He's not going to go more than 5 innings. So
where's the upside there?
It's a 5-game slate. Do you necessarily need 25 from him?
Well, I think Chad Cole has a better leash than Casey Mize, right? So maybe I'm
going to play Cole instead.
I get your point against the Orioles. I get it. He's 6,900, so it's not like he's that expensive or anything. So, yes, he's playable, but I put him in the same playability range as Chad Cole. It's a 5-game slate. If this was a larger slate, I wouldn't consider either of these pitchers, but... Who else? If you're just going to play the chalk pitchers, I mean, you can. So yes, he is an option, but I think I'm more inclined to play a low owned Orioles stack against him.
I hear you on that. I mean, you're getting the Detroit bullpen a lot too, because they're limiting his innings. You know, we talked about this a lot on the last podcast. They've already come out and said there's a good chance he doesn't throw more than 5 innings the rest of the season. So, I mean, in a start. So as far as bats go in this game, Baltimore side of things, I mean, I hear what you're saying on a low in Baltimore stack. I hate playing this team.
I'm playing them. I have 100,000, hopefully. You hate playing. I love playing this team now. Let's see by the end of the night. Maybe I'll still hit playing the Orioles. All I'm saying is that they have cheap pieces in this order. Hayes, Stewart, Urias, Severino, Franco, and the expensive guys like Mullins and Mancini are barely going to be owned this late, because wouldn't you rather pay for a Red Sox or Blue Jays or some of these other Padres? We'll get to them. So who's paying $4,900 for Cedric Mullins? Who's paying $5,200 for Trey Mancini? So I think the stack in general, maybe we see some Hayes one-offs and Stewart one-offs and Severino one-offs, but the whole stack as a whole, I think with the expensive pieces in there, the stack is still cheap enough that you could get a Peralta Musgrove type of lineup. And I think the Orioles are going to go under-owned on this slate, but maybe I could be wrong once I see ownership come out. But like you said, Casey Mize is not a bad pitcher. And I mean, it's a five. We'll get back to it. We've said it multiple times. It's a 5-game slate. You're not going to love every choice that you make, but unless you want to play the Uber chalk lineup in GPPs, you shouldn't be doing that. So find a way to pivot and the Orioles. I mean, if Mize ends up getting owned, I mean, that means I want to play the Orioles even more. So I would think that I like the Brewers. I like the Orioles. I think I'm more inclined to play these types of like the 4.7 implied run total, 4.3 implied run total, than play these five run total teams, because I think they're going to be overowned.
The Detroit side, I like Detroit. They're one of my favorite stacks on the slate. I didn't want to I think this is a great spot for them. Like I said, they're not going to get overpowered in this spot. Haas has been absolutely crushing the ball. I mean, he's super expensive, which I hope lowers his ownership. But I mean, Miguel Cabrera is 3.3K facing a lefty. He still has a little pop in that bat. And I mean, overall, this is one of the cheaper stacks on the slate that has some really good upside against this young pitcher.
Yeah, but it's going to be, I think the Tigers are going to be the highest owned stack on the entire slate. It's a 5.3.
Because you think everybody tries to go two top end pitchers and they need value.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a 5.3 implied run total. Like, they have a higher implied run total than both the Red Sox and the Blue Jays, and almost as much as the Padres, and they're much cheaper. So you could play a Bedu, Scope if he's in the lineup. Grossman's 3,200. I mean, Candelario's 43. Miggy's 33. You got guys in the middle infield that are 33, 3,500. Derek Hill, depending on where he is in the order. So I think, people look at that Orioles bullpen, and you'll see the 5.3 implied run total. I think the Tigers, they're probably the top stack of the slate, but how owned they're going to be, I don't know. The Tigers aren't the type of team where I want to trust as chalk, right? Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to play Alexander Wells against them either, but maybe the whole stack doesn't come in. I think I'm more likely to play Tigers as two mans and three mans and hope maybe the Tigers put up five runs and I get the production out of two or three guys, but the five-man stack fails.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait to see what projected ownership looks like on this slate, because, I mean, I have a ton of interest in Detroit. I hope they're not chalky. I mean,
them not being the highest owned?
No, I know. I hear what you're saying. Because I think the chalk combo is Peralta Musgrove, and that's expensive. So I think Detroit's going to be, I think I'm with, I hear you. I hate it, but I hear you. All right, moving on. We got Oakland at LA taking on the Angels, 8.5 total. Pick 'em game, Frankie Montas, Alex Cobb. Any interest here in Frankie Montas?
Yeah, I mean, Frankie Montas is a good pitcher. And the Angels, I mean, really the bottom of their lineup. Without Trout, I mean, who do I care about? Walsh just went on the IL. Rendon's injured. I mean, what? It's Ohtani, Upton, and what? Stassi? Am I scared of Stassi's batting cleanup? I mean, this lineup kind of sucks. So I have no interest. To me, Montas for 800 more than Musgrove is a better pivot than paying down. So I see myself playing both pitchers in this game.
Frankie Montas, my favorite pitcher on the slate. And like, it's not even that close. I'm going to probably pair Montas and Peralta a lot on this slate and just kind of get different. I was hoping I was going to get different with Detroit. Blender has completely changed my mind on that. I might go back to like looking at like Milwaukee, if they're going to be lower owned. If that's the case, you don't have Votto, do you, in your lineup?
Nope, I don't. Did he just hit a home run?
Yeah, he blasted one. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to look for lower owned stacks. Hopefully Montas isn't like super popular here. Like you mentioned, Walsh on the IL, this lineup with Rendon. Now Walsh out too. And Trout, like, this is a rough lineup right now. I mean, you're just hoping that you can get Ohtani out. So I like the spot for Montas a lot. On the other side, you have Alex Cobb. I mean, I think one of the moves that I don't think a lot of us kind of expected was like Sterling Marte going to Oakland. I don't know if he'll be available for this game or not, but I mean, that adds a really strong, solid bat into that lineup. What are you looking at here when it comes to Alex Cobb?
Well, I mean, I think Alex Cobb isn't a bad pitcher, And it more comes down to it's a 5-game slate, and the A's are, to me, are way overpriced. So, like, if I'm not going to be playing much A's, why don't I play Alex Cobb? I mean, it's kind of that question. I put Alex Cobb in the same category, maybe a little bit better than a Mize or a Cool. You know, I put him in Ryu and Erod are better pitchers, but they're facing much better lineups. And this A's lineup is not bad, but it's not the Blue Jays. It's not the Red Sox. And the A's, I mean, look at these prices. Canos, 5,200. Marte, 5,400. Olsen, 5,800. Laureano's, 4,800. Murphy, 46. Chapman, 46. Lowry is 4K. I mean, like, dude, I could play a Blue Jay stack for nearly these prices. So, like, why would I even play the A's this late? They'll probably be really low owned because of it in comparison for a 5-game slate. But I think that Cobb may not be as owned as he should be on both sides of the game. And I think I'm much more likely to take the savings with Cobb than pay up to be different with the Oakland A's.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where I'm at. This is all assuming that Alex Cobb pitches. I mean, they're optimistic that he's going to pitch. He's dealing with that finger injury, like a blister. And I mean, he could be warming up and it popped back up. So I definitely think that we'll have to wait and see, but I'm pretty sure we'll have to pay attention to that. And then on the other side of this game, the Angels, I mean, like, you could play Ohtani, but are you really going to pay $6,200 for Ohtani one-off, as he's always popular? I mean, the guy is having a phenomenal season. I think he's at, what, 35, 36 home runs on the season. It's just, are you really paying $6,200 for Ohtani as a one-off today?
I mean, you can, but probably not. I mean, I think I'm more likely to play one of the Blue Jays or the Red Sox. I mean, like, one of them as one-offs. But I mean, I guess you could play the stack, right? Upton's $3,200. Maybe have Matt Thaiss in the lineup, $2,600. I mean, I guess it's doable, but I don't know. I think I'd much rather play the Brewers or the Orioles or the Padres. I think I may be more inclined to play the Rockies. We'll get to that game if Musgrove is going to be popular, because I don't think Montas is going to be. I think Montas may be like 25% owned. And is it worth the leverage there? I think I'd much rather stack against Musgrove than against Montas. But the Angels aren't bad. But I mean, how do you play the stack without Ohtani? You pretty much can't. I mean, like, so you're going
to
be paying.
But who do you play with him to stack it too? Like,
you play Upton, Stassi, Iglesias, and Matt Thaiss.
Sure.
You were making a case for Alexander Wells before. I'll make a case somewhat for the Angels stack.
Colorado at San Diego. Before we lose our marbles, this game has an 8.5 total. San Diego is a 280 favorite. It's Kyle Freeland against Joe Musgrove. I mean, Musgrove's 8,200. Oh, I guess, do you have any interest in Freeland?
No, never. Okay. I don't think I've ever played that guy.
Ever. Yeah, I mean, he faced a really weak Dodgers lineup last time out and had a really strong game. But I mean, no, don't. Nope.
What does he have, a 14% strikeout rate? He is something like that.
Is it that high?
Right. Is it that high? I don't know. It's something.
Oh, really, it's 17.6. Okay. Musgrove. Let's talk about Musgrove. I mean, he faces this Rockies lineup that will be with or without Trevor Story. I still think Trevor Story gets moved. We'll see. What are we doing here with Joe Musgrove as probably one of the chalkiest pitchers on the slate?
Yeah, from a point per dollar perspective, I can see him being over 50% owned on the slate. And I don't like it. I don't like playing Musgrove. He could get into trouble, but I mean, he could also strike out 10 in this Rockies lineup. So to me, and there goes Ohtani. So yeah, see, not even by the end of the show, Stevie.
I don't
knives.
You might be
home run. Votto has his second home run.
You might have plastic silverware and paper plates after that home run.
I'm going to look right now.
We were talking about it before the show. That was not the home run you needed to happen. Oh man,
am I losing money now? Yeah. Well, I'm not losing money, but I'm not.
Yeah, that's not the one that you needed to happen.
Yeah, everything that I didn't need to happen just happened in the past 10 minutes.
Well,
everything's moving. That wasn't even that. Okay, let me take a look now. I think I'm actually losing money today now.
You know,
how is that possible? I know people don't play these GPPs, these large field GPPs. How could you go from being in first place for 100,000 and now losing money on the slate?
But you're winning $100. Sorry, I had to do it.
I'm down. I'm on the entire slate on all my entries. I'm now down $200.
No, I know, but I had to do it. But you're winning 100.
I didn't even win steak knives. Not even steak. I should have just prayed that I kept my steak knives. I got
Blender, you're gonna Cadillac. Your wife's gonna be like, "Why are we having McDonald's?" Well, Votto and Ohtani hit a home run. No steak dinner for you, honey. The Votto home run was such trash too. I mean,
but at least then I was still in fifth place for like 2,500. So it's like, oh,
no, you needed Ohtani. And you were getting what you needed out of like Heaney. Like he was allowing runs and walking some people too.
Right.
But anyway. All right.
You know how I'm going to get it back tomorrow? Musgrove's going to be 50% owned and I'm going to play.
We're going to stack the Rockies.
Yes. There you go. Double down.
I mean, that's what I was gonna say. This God, even CJ Krohn's banged up right now. Like this lineup is going to be absolute trash. You're just gonna have to like click it and know that you're just hoping for a Joe Musgrove blow up game.
Right, you hold your nose and hope with three walks in the first inning and no strikeouts, and then he gives up a bunch of hits and then some grand slam or something, and you knock out half the lineups in the contest. But I'm more inclined, like if I'm gonna stack against Musgrove. This Rocky stack is cheap enough that like this will be a Peralta lineup. Like you're going to fade the two highest owned pitchers. Like you don't have to do that even on a 5-game slate. So I think I'm like more likely to play Peralta in those types of lineups, but just understand the Rockies are not in a good spot, right? They're getting one of the biggest ballpark downgrades that you could possibly get. Coors into Petco. Is it still called Petco? Whatever, in San Diego. So the Rockies are going to project as one of, if not the lowest team on the slate, maybe the Pirates and the Rockies. But these are the two teams where if you want to hope one of the chalkiest pitchers on a 5-game slate blows up, I'll hold my nose and make some lineups like this.
I mean, yeah, it's not going to look good on paper. But I mean, this is, the more I think about it, the more if I'm going to go like Peralta, Montas, like stacking Colorado makes the most sense. You can create the most leverage, I think, if you do that. If you're chasing one of these big tournaments, I think I'm gonna throw a single bullet in whatever the main big tournament is tomorrow and stack Colorado. Because it's a 5-game slate, and I'm not going to put a ton of effort into it. So there you go. These are probably like one of your favorite slates, right? I hate these slates. These are probably one of your favorite slates.
Yeah, and the more that people hate it, the more I like it.
No, I get it. Just saying. All right, San Diego. I mean, I think they're a fantastic stack today. Like, you know, my biggest concern here, Blender, with San Diego is if Toronto and Boston has a ton of weather and people start pivoting, this is going to be where they pivot to.
Yep. And if it turns into a 4-game slate, the Padres are going to be – Padres Tigers is going to be like the build. Right, because you play Machado and Tatis in your third and shortstop spots, and then fill out the rest of your lineup with everyone else. Yeah, but rightfully so. Freeland, like you said, 17.6% strikeout rate. He gives up hard contact. Yes, I mean obviously he's not pitching in Coors, so that helps him. But look at this Padres lineup. Maybe Hosmer won't be. Maybe they trade Hosmer. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Maybe half the players we mentioned get traded. Right, Gallo's now on the Yankees, so I don't know. That lineup for the Yankees, Stevie, it's either going to be 700 home runs or 700 strikeouts. I mean, like,
as a Red Sox fan, you hate to see it.
Yeah, but still, but look at the middle. Like, you have Stanton, Judge, Odor, and Sanchez, and Torres, and Gallo. I mean, like, dude, you could throw pitchers against them. It's like, I may take shots on pitchers against them because they could. They could have 18 strikeouts a game in their lineup, or they win the game 15-0. So it's like one of the two.
All right, let's play the morning grind game. And then we'll get out of here. You will be on Crunch Time in the morning with Mr. Tuttle.
And it's free. It's free on YouTube.
Free. Yep. Free Crunch Time for the early slate. I think it's 6 games, correct?
Yes, it's a 6 game slate, which includes like 1 or 2 games that we probably won't even have the lineup for. I think the 3:45, one of those games, we're definitely not going to have the starting lineups for. But it's a 12-10 slate. So. It is what it is.
All right, let's play the morning grind game. Under 8K to get 6 or more strikeouts. Who do you got?
Under 8K to get 6 or more strikeouts. How much is Cobb? I don't even have his price here.
78.
Okay, so I'm going to take him, Cobb.
I'm going to hope he does it in 5 innings or 4 innings, but I'm going to go Mize against Baltimore. Over 8K to score under 15. We only have 5 options. You get to pick one of them. Who do you got?
Okay, we only have 5 options. You're right. I'll say Ryu.
I'm gonna go Joe Musgrove. I'm really hoping that happens. I mean, he really hasn't been pitching great. It's not like he's been pitching stellar. This offense is not good, but I mean, it's not like he's been pitching lights out. Over 4K to hit a home run. Who do you got today?
Over 4K to hit a home run. It's going to be someone that I didn't roster. Dude, Upton just hit a home run. So now I'm getting even farther behind.
I wasn't going to say it. So I already feel bad.
I got him in single entry. So maybe that'll help that lineup. Who knows? I got Ohtani and Upton in a Baltimore stack. So maybe I actually do make money today. Maybe I do. Okay. So 4K to hit a home run. Let's go with. I'll double down on my no one's gonna play him angle with these Orioles. I'm gonna go with Trey Mancini.
Okay, I like it. I mean, give me Will Myers. Under 4K to get 2 hits.
Let's see. I go to the well with good old me.
Against that's the who I was gonna take.
Oh, that's who you were gonna take.
Give me
Ryan, for a home run, but I can pick him for 2 singles.
Give me Ryan McMahon. Yeah, it's sunny. Stack to score 6 or more runs today.
I mean, well, obviously the Padres are not. I'm just going to say Orioles or the Brewers. Or Padres are the easy one. I'm going to split. So because I have the Mancini call, I'll do the Brewers then. Kind of hedge it.
Fair enough. I'm going to take Colorado. Let's go Rockies. I don't think that's something I've said in a long time on this podcast, so I'll end on that. Blender, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Nope. I'll be on 11:30, I believe 11:30 tomorrow morning, this morning, whatever, whenever you're listening, on YouTube with Tuttle for the early slate for Crunch Time. And it's amazing that we started the show with me in first place for 100,000. And we ended the show. I said, you're going to wake up in this morning and I'm going to have steak knives. And I ended it with plastic forks. So like in the course of the show, like it all went wrong. Maybe I just shouldn't have been on the show to begin with.
Sorry.
You mushed it.
If I only did the schedule, like before the month started, listen, there's been a good run of like co-hosts the next day when they do the podcast. So, I mean, you, I think you were one of the ones that did it.
No,
too.
I went, like, the first time I was ever on the Morning Grind that night, I won like 50,000 or something.
So hopefully maybe that. Okay. All right. Let's get the
mojo. Maybe I'm on too much. Maybe that's the problem.
We get the mojo going. I think you're on like once a month, maybe. I don't know if that's too much, so we'll see. All right. It's always fun, Blender. That's going to wrap it up here for Thursday. We'll be back Friday talking some more baseball, talking some prize picks. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.